Stand, if you will, if you're able. If you're not, that's fine. In reverence to God's Word, Matthew 18. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend," as I studied that out, that word carries with it the meaning of placing a stumbling block. "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones," place a stumbling block. Every one of us that know Jesus as our Savior should stop and pray right now, "God, make my life a stepping stone. Don't ever let it be a stumbling block. Help me to be helping others to Christ, not hindering others from coming to Christ." He said it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven," notice this, "their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Brother Mays Jackson, I heard him preach years ago. He said, "I have two angels that follow me everywhere I go." He said, "One of them's name is Goodness, and the other one's name is Mercy." He got that from Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here. I pray, Heavenly Father, that something would be said or done in this service that would prove to be a blessing to our precious people. Lord, that the service would not only be a blessing to the saints, but Lord, would this service be such that it would be a blessing to our Savior. I pray, Father, today that He, the Holy Spirit of the living God, would have free course. The Word of the Lord would have free course. And God, that You would help us this day as we look into the Scripture. And we'll give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me get my phone out here. I usually don't like to use it in church, but since the building's all scattered out and I can't holler loud enough, I'll call. I might have to put legs on my prayers. Brother Jimmy, step around there and tell Mary she knows what I need. Oh, she's on the way. Okay. Come here, buddy. Come here. God bless you. Sister Mary, go back and get the rest of them. I want them in just a minute. How are you, buddy? I went into the children's church a little while ago, and I said, is there anybody that would like to help preacher in the service this morning? Little Marshall said, I will. I want you to see something here. The Word of God said in verse number 2, and Jesus called a little child. Can y'all see that? He didn't have to prod him. He didn't have to pump. He didn't have to prime. All he said was, honey, come here. And I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons Marshall didn't hesitate to volunteer, he trusts me. Brother Josh and Sister Amanda, Brother Houston and Sister Gwen, there's a reason he trusts me. You all don't go home and eat preacher for dinner. You go home and you let the youngins know that we need to pray for preacher. He loves us. Amen. He ain't here to hurt us. He's here to help us. Come on up here, youngins. Amen. Come on, Claire. Amen. Well, I wish I could have just hollered over there, but it's just too far and too many walls to go through. How is everybody? Is everybody doing good? You know what Jesus said? He said, suffer ye the little children to come unto me. Now, I want you to get a picture of this in your mind before we preach the message, okay? I want you to understand that they came just because they were asked to. Somebody called them. And I want you to remember these faces throughout the message, amen? And I'm going to say some things throughout the message that I believe God will use to speak to our hearts. Jesus said, except you become converted, be converted and become as a little child. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a whole lot of potential right here. Marshall, you done sat down on me, have you? I don't blame you. I'll just go sit down with you. Amen. Hey, there's a whole lot of potential right here, but let me tell you what there's not a whole lot of right here. That's pride. God is going to teach us two things in the lesson today. He's looking for this. He's looking for someone that will trust him. Somebody that will respond to his voice. And he's looking for someone that's humble. Someone that's not full of themselves. Someone that's not full of pride. Landon, do you know what you and Sawyer have in common? Neither one of you can stand still. Okay. Would you guys like to go back to children's church now? Yes?
I'm going to tell you a funny joke.
You're going to tell me a funny joke? Should I cover this microphone up?
You want to know why the tacos are so sad?
Why what now?
You want to know why the tacos are so sad?
Why?
Actually, I don't
want to
talk about it.
Oh, that's a good one. All right. You guys go on back to class. Sure.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Hi.
Taco who?
Taco cried poop.
God bless you. You guys go back with Miss Mary. You better go, Claire. The train's leaving, honey. Bye-bye. Love you. It's humbling, sister. It's humbling. I got to see Landon graduate the other day. I'll see Sawyer graduate tomorrow night. Y'all pray that some way or another Sawyer can get back here. I don't care whether Bob comes or not, just so Sawyer comes. Amen. Amen. I'd like to speak to us today from this passage, and I don't know how it's going to go. I know what's in my heart. Let me just start. I want you to think about, first of all, genuine humility. The Bible said here that except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. First of all, I'd like for you to think about children and their associations. You could go out throughout Kingsport, and you could go over here where the home cost $750,000. You could go over here where another home cost $250,000. And you could go over here where another home costs $100,000. Not many of them these days. You could go over here to an apartment where somebody's renting a nice apartment. You could go over here to the housing projects where the government kind of pays the bills for people. They're poor. They live on food stamps and things of that nature, and they really don't have much of anything. They do good to get by from week to week, get them something to eat, keep clothes on their children. But you could take a child from each one of those homes, and you could put them on a playground. There'll not be any difference. If they're little boys, and there's a mud puddle, they'll find it. They'll go out of their way to go through a mud puddle as to go around it. Amen. And I want you to think about something. That one that lives in the project, so to speak, when that little boy comes home, there's not going to be much of anything said because that's just what he's been doing all the time. Come on, honey, let me get you cleaned up and get you something ready. But as you go up in society, another might say something. What have you been doing over there playing with them and getting them new fancy tennis shoes I just bought you all filthy dirty and them designer jeans? Does anybody get a picture of how I'm trying to set the stage for this message? Jesus said, except you become as little children. Let me tell you something else about children. Not only associations, they don't care whether mom and dad's got a Cadillac or whether they got a Volkswagen. They don't care. Just let them out and let them get dirty and let them play. Amen. And if you won't let your children get dirty, there's something wrong with you. Amen. That might be why they're catching everything coming and going. Amen. Let them play. Let them have a good time. Teach them to be no respecter of persons. Little children don't think I'm better than you. But we come to an age where we grow up a little bit and we get out of that little children stage, and then all of a sudden, and I'm thinking of junior high school now, when a young man invited me to his home. You see, I lived in a home where the house was a barn that was converted into a house. So when people say, when I leave the door open, were you raised in a barn? I get to say yes. I was raised in a barn. My daddy worked on it, Brother Randall. He painted, he fixed, he grubbed. He fixed it too nice. The lady renting it figured she could get more rent out of it. So she jacked it up to where daddy couldn't pay it anymore. And we had to move. But when I went to my friend's house, they had a swimming pool. And I'm not talking about one from Walmart. I'm talking about one of them cement ponds. Amen. And I was old enough now, middle school. I didn't want nobody to come to my house, Brother Mike. You see, you get this pride thing going on. I didn't want them to see. Oh, if I had it to do over again. I'd have brought everybody in junior high and showed them what my daddy did. But I didn't have sense enough at the time to know what a good daddy I had and what a good mom I had. They raised six children. I used to tell them in prison, I'm the oldest and the ugliest. It gets better from here. Amen. You think about their associations. But then think about children. You can put five or six children together on a playground. And it ain't going to be too long, Brother Grizzle, till they'll get into it over something. Somebody's got the truck I wanted to play with. And they'll fuss. How many knows I'm telling it right? How many had brothers and sisters growing up? But how many knows this? The fuss don't last long. Little children, they don't have that pride, so they're just able to go right back to playing. Go right back at it, amen. I thought about what Jesus has tried to teach us here, and I know I can't get it all, but I believe I've got some of what the Lord is trying to teach us. Jesus, if you look in Matthew chapter number 17, just back up a chapter to verse number 22. Jesus in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 22 said, while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And the Word of God said, and they were exceeding sorry. He said, Pastor, where are you going with that? Charles Spurgeon said this, while Jesus was speaking of his abasement, the disciples were speaking of their advancement. They were wondering, who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus just called a child. And I believe that child come over there, if you can read in a text where it says, he set him. So I believe he's little, because Jesus set him in the midst of them. In another text it said that Jesus took him up in his arms and set him in the midst of them. Jesus has said, I want to teach you something, fellas. It's not about who's going to be the greatest, but who's going to be like one of these little children. Who's going to have some humility about them? Who is going to trust like this little child trusts me? There was a time with my children, and every one of you that's raised children and grandchildren, you can remember it, when you could have set them up on the top of this roof and said, jump, honey. They wouldn't have been trying to figure out how high it was. They wouldn't have been trying to figure out if you were going to hurt them. They had a trust that if Daddy said jump, if Papa said jump, just jump. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. But faith is trusting someone that said to you, if you'll come, he'll receive you. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 8, And being found in fashion as a man, this is speaking of Jesus, the Word of God said, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. What I'm trying to get to you here is Jesus, listen to me carefully. If there was anybody in the whole world, when the disciples asked the question, who shall be the greatest in the kingdom of God, Jesus could have said, right here. Is that not right? If there was anybody in the world that had the right, Jesus could have said, right here, boys, I'll be the greatest in the kingdom of God. But you see, Jesus, He didn't come to be served or to be ministered unto, but He came to serve. He came to minister. The Word of God said He humbled Himself. In other words, I like this. I heard a preacher say one time, I would never ask my men to do anything that I wouldn't do except give blood. That's what he said. He was one of them like me for years. I couldn't do it. Oh, I could do it. I just passed out when I did it. I didn't want to pass out, so I didn't do it. For some years, I passed out at the sight of blood. It didn't matter if it's mine or somebody else's. There were years that I passed out at the smell of a hospital. I could walk into a hospital. Jesus, there's something about that name. The hospital, there's something about that smell. God saved me. God called me. God helped me to get over those things. But the Word of God is teaching us here that Jesus, He's come to seek and to save those who are lost. He's interested in humbling Himself, and the disciples are interested in exalting themselves. How many would like to see, listen to me carefully, a genuine Holy Ghost revival? I'm going to tell you where it's going to come. It's not going to come where people are standing tall with their chest stuck out. It's going to come, Brother Gary, where God's youngins, God, I need you. Lord, I can't make it without you. God, I have to have you. I need your power. I need your presence. I need your provision. I need you, Lord. Beloved, I'm telling you, this Bible teaches that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Amen. Let me quickly move on in the message. Genuine humility. I believe there's two conversions that are pictured here. I believe it's safe to say that when we're a lost sinner, when we're a lost sinner, that except you become as a little child, except you humble yourself, you'll in no wise enter in. The Word of God teaches us, beloved, that there is a work of grace in saving the soul of a man. There's also a work of grace, I believe, being pictured here in sanctifying the saints. Let me give you an example. Everybody knows what the middle letter in sin is, right? Somebody tell me what the middle letter in sin is. Help me. What's the middle letter in pride? Okay. In the work of grace and salvation, beloved, that happens once for all. But the work of grace and sanctification, this humbling yourself as a little child, listen to me carefully. Don't miss this. I believe it's every day. You say, where did you get that, preacher? How about the Apostle Paul? How many believe he's a pretty good feller? He's a good preacher. He loved Jesus. And he said, I die daily. Well, I just now thought of something. That's what needs to die. The I. We wouldn't have so much trouble with sin, and we wouldn't have so much trouble with pride if the I could die daily. Jesus is speaking to us here, and He wants us to understand, beloved, listen, that the conversion that's being spoken of here is not just the conversion from unrighteousness to righteousness, but it's the conversion from selfishness to unselfishness. A conversion from pride to humility. I was reminded, Brother Don, have you seen the movie Sheffy about the old circuit riding preacher? I was reminded as I was preparing and God was speaking to my heart of Sheffy. You remember when the big camp meeting, the tabernacle burned down? And you remember when he fought the fire and they did the best they could, but they couldn't put it out. But he ends up on his knees. And he said, "Oh God, forgive me of my pride." The meeting had got big and God was doing great things. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if you've never experienced this, God gets to bless in your home. God gets to bless in you at the job. God gets to bless in your church. I'm telling you, beloved, we got to watch out for that thing called pride. Because God said He resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. There's a text, let me see if I can find it here. This continual work, Paul said, "I die daily." The Bible said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." He said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee." Now I'm going to make a statement. I'm not fussing. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to us. When there's more conversions among us, there'll be more conversions among them. When something becomes more important to us than our favorite ball game or our favorite TV show, and we set aside some time to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and pray. When something, beloved, comes along in our life and we know that it's not right, instead of just going on and on and on and on, we swallow our pride and we get right with God. Something I've learned years ago, you can't get right with God without getting right with others. Peter, in Luke chapter 22, Jesus said to Peter, now Peter's the one that said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "We believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be prevailed against it." You say, "Pastor, I don't know how you can say there's two conversions going on." Listen to what the Bible said. Luke 22, 32, Jesus said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." What do you mean converted? Well, Peter had to get past, "Though all forsake thee." Not me. "I'll go with you even unto death." I'm paraphrasing now. But you know what Jesus said? He said, "Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." You know what Peter's problem was? Peter. It was that big eye. It was that pride. "Oh, well, I know there's 12 of us, Lord, but there's one of us you can count on. And that's me." You say, "Pastor, what do you mean conversion?" You remember later on in John chapter 20 when Peter said, "I go a fishing." There he goes again. You remember that? Some of the other disciples said, "We'll just go with you." Jesus showed up the next morning. one of them said, I can't remember which one it was that said it might have been John. I believe it was John, said, it is the Lord. And Peter girded about his fishing coat and jumped in the sea because he's naked. That's what the Word of God said. What I'm trying to tell you is there was a conversion took place in Peter's life. Besides being saved, he had to learn that Peter wasn't anywhere near the big shot that Peter thought he was. Except you be converted, become as a little child. You say, what happened? You remember Jesus had the conversation and Peter would say, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. What was happening during this conversation? I'll tell you what was happening. Jesus was getting bigger and Peter was getting smaller. You know what would do our churches good? If Jesus got bigger and we got smaller, we'd humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. What about when Peter walked through the temple and he said to the lame man, he said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You say, what happened? There's a conversion took place. You know what Peter's saying? Fella, I don't have what you need, but I know the one who does. What'd that boy do? They found him just leaping through the temple. Amen. He'd been lame all of his life. He's no longer begging for alms, but he's praising the God of heaven. Because somebody pointed him to somebody that was bigger than the one pointing and bigger than the one that needed to be pointed to. He humbled himself. You remember in Acts when the Lord had that conversation with Peter about the Gentiles. He said, call nothing common or unclean. There was a conversion that had taken place. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, children do not try to be humble. They just are so. And the same is the case with really gracious persons. He said, the imitation of humility is sickening. The reality is attractive. If there is a humble person in this building today, it's not because of you. It's because of him. It's because some way or another, he has been able to help you to see your need of him. People are full of pride. I heard a woman sitting in a living room setting one time, and I'm not going to name any names. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But she was trying to impress everybody that was sitting in the living room, and she had one of these fancy magazines opened. And she said to everybody, oh, look here. What a recipe for whore's divorce. Let me let you country folk in on it. That's hors d'oeuvres. It becomes pretty obvious sometimes when people are trying to be something, they're not. Let me tell you about something about children. You can't fool them. They know whether you're the real deal or not. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Sister Miriam, we can't fool him. He knows whether we're the real deal or not. I believe that the Lord wants us to see in these children a genuine humility. Why is it important, preacher? Why is it important that we be converted and become as little children? I'm talking now to the saints. I'm talking about even after that we've been saved. Why is it important that we don't be eat up with pride, and why we don't, the Bible said we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. There's some preachers that think the world couldn't exist without them. God help us. Why is it important? 2 Chronicles 7:14, you all know the verse. If my people, that shows you right there that God's not talking to sinners. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Wait a minute. His people need to humble themselves? How many's getting this message? Somebody help me. And then the Word of God said, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. I love our church. But I hope if we ever get to the point where we think everybody just, oh man, we're the stuff. I hope God will slap us and remind us we're not the stuff. He's the Savior. The people don't need the stuff in Kingsport. They need the Savior. I wonder in Kingsport, in Tennessee, in America, and around the world, how many people in invitations like we're fixing to have today will stand there. They'll stand right there in their pride. I'm not going up there. I'm not going to pray. No, not me. I'm afraid about what somebody will think. That's why Jesus said, except you become converted, come like a little child. The other night we were in revival, I think it was Thursday night, Brother Jason, when the pastor gave us an opportunity after the service was over. I was standing there with my head bowed, and someone got me by the arm. It was Coulter. We went to the altar together. He said, Pastor, I'm burdened for Amanda, and I'm burdened for your grandbabies. Now, if Coulter was eat up with pride, and as far as I remember, he was the first one that moved. If he was eat up with pride, he'd have to think, oh, what will they think if me and Brother Vinoy go to that altar? You know what? Who gives a rip what people think? Would God help us? On any given Sunday, there's people that are carrying burdens. I mean burdens that are just crushing burdens. And we'll stand there. We won't ask. The Bible said, humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He shall exalt you in due time. These six things doth the Lord God hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. Does anybody know what the first one is? Anybody know? Holler at me if you do. A proud look. When the Baptists think about the word abomination, probably the last thing we think about is pride and a proud look. But the Word of God said, these six things doth the Lord God hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. You know what the Bible said, beloved? Listen. It said, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be as a contrite spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. I'm almost finished. I was reminded, listen to me carefully right here. It's not wise to ask God to humble you. It's wise to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And I remember this, and some of you all will remember this. God just showed it to me as an example. The man was right here in this place before Sunday school one morning. And the first thing that happened, he humbled himself. He said, it's never been right. That broken, that contrite spirit, here comes Jesus. I was a church member for 6.5 years. But thank God for a night, for a broken and a contrite spirit. Here comes Jesus. I'm telling you, beloved, that Jesus said, except you be converted and become as a little child. We need that. We need genuine humility, and then we need a genuine trust. The Word of God said there that Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. I don't read where that young'un said, what's he want? Marshall didn't say to me this morning, I said, would one of you boys like to help preacher in the service? He didn't say, what do you want? What's it going to cost me? Anybody going to laugh at me? You going to embarrass me, preacher? You say, why didn't he do all that? Because he trusts me. Can I tell you something right now? There's a man called Jesus. You can trust him. It doesn't matter whether you're not saved yet and that's what you need, or whether you're doubting your salvation and you need help. God already knows what you need before we ask. That's what the Bible said. But he said, ask. You can trust him. We could have revival, but there's something that needs to go out the door first. That's our pride. That's our pride. That's our pride. Jesus gives a stern warning here about offenses. I would hate to think that I'm a stumbling block to my children or my grandchildren, or that I was a stumbling block to someone in this community. May the Lord help us to realize, beloved, there is a conversion that is once for all, but there's another conversion that's daily. I die daily. In other words, Brother Gary, it wasn't just back yonder when you got saved that you reached up and said, Lord, I need you. And it's not just Sunday that you reach up and say, Lord, I need you. But Monday, Lord, I need you. Tuesday, Lord, I need you. Wednesday, Lord, I need you. And when you get enough, Lord, I need you, it turns into, Lord, we need you. And God will come right down in the middle. This old boy says it'll get on. We can see genuine. There's enough of a facade in the religious community today. We need a genuine move of God. We need somebody to come under conviction that's watching TV at 6 o'clock when church is going on, or on the lake at 6 o'clock when church is going on. See, I serve a God that can do that. I don't know who God's speaking to this morning. But if there's an ounce of pride, let God deal with it. There's no big I's and little U's. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be here in this place. Thank you for our people. Thank you for the Word of God. God, I pray that in this invitation, we'd humble ourselves. God, I pray that you'd meet with us. I pray for this meeting coming up with Brother Ralph, the tent meeting, Lord. God, that in mighty power, you would show up there. Lord, that pride would be extinguished on a daily basis in our lives. And we would realize, God, that without you, we can do nothing. We would realize, Lord, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we would realize, our Father, that, Lord, though we're living in a generation that has mostly turned their back on God, we can turn to God. We can see you heal our land. We can see you forgive our sin. Lord, I pray that that pride would go away this morning, be dealt with. Lord, you dealt with David's pride. The man after God's own heart battled pride. Paul said, I die daily. Who are we, Lord, to think that we can get through life without dealing with that big eye in pride? Help us, we pray. Help us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.